Now to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. And you probably have suspected by now that I am accustomed to reading and praying in King James language. That's just the way that I've been for a number of years, and it is my preference, but in any case, I hope that it won't be a barrier to anyone, but we trust that we will hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So I may refer in my sermon to the King James Version again, but we will read from the Pew Bibles, page 821, Matthew chapter 15, and we will begin reading at verse 21. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Let us look unto the Lord once again. O Lord, our God, we have read thy word. We pray now the blessing and power of thy Holy Spirit as it is proclaimed. We ask, Lord, for the cleansing of our hearts. And we pray for the mighty power of thy Holy Spirit to do a wondrous work in our midst. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved congregation, it is the way of the Lord Jesus to often deal with us in ways that we do not expect, and even with those around us in ways that we may not think are even appropriate. But the Lord Jesus does things unexpectedly. And here, as we look in the Gospel of Matthew, or through the Gospel of Matthew, one of the themes that occurs is that the opposition of the Lord's ministry by the Pharisees escalates. And it's building and building and building. And the Lord is tearing down their traditions, attacking their pride, and addressing himself to those who are humble. And here we see that he has left the Pharisees and left even his own people geographically. So the Lord Jesus has departed from Jerusalem, from the land of Israel, to go into the land of Canaan, and the place that traditionally has been a place of animosity towards the Jewish people. And so he reaches out to this Canaanite woman. Actually, what happens is that the Lord Jesus has an appointment to keep with this Syrophoenician woman. And so he must needs go, we should say. We could say he must needs go to this place to meet this woman. And yet when he meets her, he seems to push her away. He seems to do the very opposite of what we would expect the Lord Jesus to do. I want you to notice, first of all, the urgency of this woman. Notice in verse 22, it says that she came out of the same coast, cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." So she cries to him, and the word here is, it's a guttural, irritating sound. And you can see that it irritates the disciples. They just want to get rid of this woman who's really interrupting them. Some people have supposed that Jesus may have been going here for some rest and a bit of a retreat. We don't know that for sure, but if that was the case, if the disciples had a sense of that, they would have said, you know, this is not restful. Just tell her to go away. This is very, very irritating. But she cried to the Lord Jesus. She cried for mercy, and she acknowledges him for who he is, which in many ways was better treatment than he had received from his own people. She calls him Lord. Lord, which in the Old Testament would be the equivalent of Jehovah. I think we can safely make that projection. She's acknowledging him to be the son of David. So she is acknowledging really that the Jewish religion is the true religion, which is what the Lord Jesus Christ said to the woman at the well, the woman at the well in John chapter 4. So she acknowledges that he is the son of David. She's not necessarily a descendant of David, but you are the son of David. You are the coming Messiah. You are the rightful king of the Jewish nation, of Israel. And then she has an urgent request, and can feel the heart of a mother. Heal my demonized daughter. She's in a horrible way. And doesn't she know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can heal her daughter? She is absolutely convinced of this. So here's a sense of urgency. And then we notice that Christ is disinterested. Not uninterested. He almost seems uninterested, but he seems to distance himself from her in a way. Not just distance himself, but push her away. First of all, it says in verse 23, he answered her not a word. Just here she is, filled with passion and desire and acknowledgement and worship of who he is. And he does nothing. He answered her not a word. So the response was that she cried out the more. So convinced was this woman that Christ was her Savior, that Christ alone could heal her daughter. You notice that all of this healing starts in the soul. She knows who Jesus Christ is. She knows that he can heal her daughter. And so the disciples are annoyed. They said, send her away. And then the Lord Jesus, beyond just not answering her a word, says, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of Israel. Now this is, in our day and age, we would say this is a racist comment. Basically, he says, you're not Jewish. I'm not here for you. I'm here for the Jews. I'm sent to the lost sheep of Israel. You don't qualify for my work. You don't qualify to be one of my sheep. And then he says something even more dramatic. He says, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. So the insults just seem to grow, just seem to get worse. This is bread for the children. My work is for the lost sheep of Israel, and I'm going to cast it to dogs. And we look at the language here. It is the word that's used for a house dog, maybe a pet dog. But in a way, even that doesn't really minimize what he says. I'm come for the sheep, and you're just a dog. And beloved, notice that this does not deter her. She is so convinced, so absolutely desirous of receiving a good word from the Lord Jesus Christ, that she presses on. And what does she do? She actually worships the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's think a moment about how that may reflect in your own life, where you may feel that the Lord Jesus isn't hearing your prayer, isn't answering. Sometimes in the Christian life, we can fall away and feel that maybe there's no restoration for me, no return, no acceptance. Will the Lord Jesus really receive me again? And of course, in those situations, beloved, the only barrier is your own sin, isn't it? You're looking in the wrong way. You're looking in the wrong direction. Unless it's unrepentant sin, if you're truly sorrowful and looking and saying, there's sin here, then immediately you must look to the Lord Jesus. And with that sense of urgency, Lord, receive me. Lord, hear my prayer. I feel like I don't belong, but I know that by your grace and mercy, I will belong. I can belong. You are a redeemer. You are a savior. Be my savior. Be the one who has come for me. I need you. I need thee. Every hour I need thee. In those situations, beloved, do you respond as this woman did, this Syrophoenician? She was not a Jewish woman. What did she do? Verse 25, she came and worshiped him. She worshiped him. So all of this pushing away, all of this, you know, that we would think is not really good evangelistic procedure, the Lord has been moving upon the heart of this woman, and she actually worships the Lord Jesus Christ, who appears to be rejecting her. What marvelous power is there? Not of, she's exercising faith, but it's not her faith, is it? It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Who could do something like that apart from the mighty power of God's Holy Spirit? To stay in that place when somebody's pushing you away consistently, and she stays and falls on her knees and worships. She gives her humble adoration. She gives an honest request. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. No matter what you say, I need your help. She even agrees with the Lord Jesus when he says in verse 26, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. She even agrees with him. Truth, Lord. And what you say is absolutely true. I don't belong. I don't deserve your grace. I don't deserve for you to hear my prayer. But you must. You must hear my prayer. It's you're the only hope that I have. Now, we don't know where this woman heard the gospel, but somewhere she did. Somewhere she understands who Jesus is, this visiting itinerant preacher coming through her town. She hears that he's there. Maybe she's tried or her other gods, but she knows that they don't avail anything. She must see the Lord Jesus. She falls down and worships him. Lord, help me. She agrees with him. Truth, Lord. And then she has this honest argument. She says, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. I'm only a dog. I'm not a sheep. I agree with you. I don't rightly belong. But even those dogs that you speak of eat the crumbs from the table. Lord, if I can just have a crumb, if I can just have an entrance into the gospel, if you will have mercy upon my soul, if you will hear me and receive me, that's all I want. Don't want a grand position. I just want you to hear my prayer. I just want you to have mercy upon me and show me your grace. And then, in a very remarkable way, the Lord Jesus gives honor to this woman. When we worship, we gather to bring honor to Christ. And the Lord Jesus honors this woman with her words. O woman, great is thy faith. You have tremendous understanding. And part of that is this perseverance. Great is thy faith. John Calvin says this latter clause contains a useful doctrine that faith will obtain anything from the Lord, for so highly does he value it that he is always prepared to comply with our wishes so far as it may be for our advantage. What a beautiful lesson on the exercise of faith. Beloved, when you have your requests, and especially those requests that are the burden of your heart, the depth of your heart, the situation that you get yourself in, and you can say, you know, it was my sin that caused that. I know why I'm in this situation. I messed up. I've no right to call on you. You don't owe me anything because I betrayed you. I betrayed Christ. I betrayed your law. But I plead your mercy. All that I have left is your mercy. I have nothing. I have nothing to offer you but my disobedience. Nothing to offer you but my sin. And I need your mercy. I need your grace. I need your forgiveness. I need to be right with you. I need to be reconciled. I need you. I need you. And those are the words we can say that the Lord Jesus loves to hear. One of the things that we train our children as we raise them, we train them to be independent. And that's not a characteristic of spiritual growth, is it? It's one of the differences. As you grow in spiritual maturity, you become more and more dependent. Isn't that true? In fact, that is part of our growth, is learning more and more to depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ instead of taking him for granted. We do have a tendency to take him for granted. I think in our nation, we live in a land of prosperity and abundance. And even in difficult times, we live in a nation of prosperity and abundance, and we tend to take things for granted. Don't we? The Lord says, give us this day our daily bread. We're to pray that. Give us this day our daily bread. I don't suppose there's too many people here who don't have bread for next week and next month in your freezer or your cupboard. We're doing pretty well. And still Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. It's that dependence all the time, dependence. And the Lord never tires of hearing your plea for his help. There are times when my wife is doing something and I say, why doesn't she help me? Why doesn't she ask me for my help? Sometimes I have to think, well, maybe the last time she asked me for help, I kind of brushed her aside or didn't have time for her or had other things that I thought were more important. Maybe that's why she stopped asking. The Lord Jesus always listens. God hears your prayer. He always takes time. And if it's a plea for help, plea for his grace, a plea for his mercy to attend your daily life and your immediate need, he loves to hear that prayer. And so he honors this woman. Great is your faith. I think the only other place where he commends someone's faith is the centurion. So both of these are non-Israelites. They're Gentiles. The centurion, great, I have not seen so great faith. No one, not in all Israel. So he makes note of these ones who express their faith in him. And the Holy Spirit tells us that her daughter was healed immediately. The Lord heard the prayer and answered it. So, beloved, what is it that you urgently need from the Lord? Sometimes it's the physical, material things, the circumstances, the relationships that really are so present, physically present, emotionally present. And the Lord loves for you to bring those to him. Always beginning with spiritual peace, spiritual comfort and reconciliation. When you think of the things that you urgently need from the Lord, beloved, go to him immediately. We often think, and this is an error that arises out of our old nature, that maybe I should fix things up before I go to the Lord Jesus. And the Lord certainly requires repentance when we come to him, but you go to Jesus first, right? You don't go with your word, oh, look at my repentance. No, you always plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The repentance will follow. If the Lord is in it, won't it? The repentance will follow. You come immediately to the Lord because the reformation is not the basis of your forgiveness or your reconciliation. It's the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit. We're so readily given to doing things our own way. The Lord says in Jeremiah 2, verse 36, why gaddest thou about so much to change thy way? Why are you so busy trying to reform and fix up your life when you need the power of my Holy Spirit? Beloved, what do you do when you realize that you've set your plea before the Lord and he answered you not a word? We have that saying sometimes, and we have that feeling sometimes, don't you, that you pray and we say our prayers just don't go past the ceiling. They just don't seem to go anywhere. And they seem ineffective. What do you do when Jesus answers you not a word? Do you fall down and worship him? Do you continue to cry out? You just say, Lord, I don't seem to be getting answers, but I know you're the only one with the answers. I can't go anywhere else. Remember when the disciples started to leave the Lord, or everybody started to leave the Lord Jesus, and he says to his disciples, will ye also go away? Everybody's leaving me. Are you leaving me too? And Peter brings that beautiful answer, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Nothing else satisfies us. The crowds don't satisfy us. What everybody else is doing doesn't satisfy us. You have the words of eternal life. You're satisfying to our soul. You satisfy our hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And even, beloved, if he should, have the feeling that he sends you away, you use every argument that you can. Lord, your sovereignty. Lord, your grace. Lord, your mercy. Lord, your listening ear. It's Christ or nothing. Christ is the only way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Beloved, it is the Lord Jesus Christ that your soul must have. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ alone that can satisfy. Plead him. Plead his grace. He hears the prayers of sinners. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before Thee this day and testify that Thy grace truly is amazing. It's beyond our comprehension. And even as we think of the many ways in which we have not only transgressed Thy law but failed Thee, we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, His covenant faithfulness, His love towards sinners. We thank Thee, Lord, that as He had mercy upon this woman who was outside of the physical, visible household of faith, yet Thou didst grant her faith. We pray, Lord, that we may have that faith, that persevering faith. Though things cross us and cross our wills, Lord, we pray that Thou wouldst make us to hope and trust in Thee, to plead Thy mercies in difficult circumstances, and to make us to see that nothing else will do. Hear our prayer, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.